Judges, the sixth chapter. We're going to talk about Gideon today. And when we consider the text, I want to kind of start in here just a little bit, and then we'll back up a little bit. But as we read the text, something interesting that point out there. In verse 7 of Judges, the sixth chapter, says, "Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you from the land of Egypt and brought you out from the land of slavery and delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors and dispossessed them before you and gave them to your hand. And then I said to you, I am the Lord your God, and you shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me.'" And then verse 12, and then we can be seated. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.'" Now you can have a seat. Talk about Gideon today and the cry that came about because a civilized nation, and that is a nation that was supposedly civilized under the hand of God, decided to do their own thing. And it was interesting, I was reading an article and someone translated this or transliterated the verse here in chapter 6. And it said, chapter 6, verse 1, "And then the United States of America did evil and was in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord then gave them Obama for 7 years. Well, that's really the crux of what happened, and that is that this nation decided to do evil in the sight of God. Now, if you do some study on that, the evil that this nation had fallen into was an evil of a propensity that we just cannot fathom within our own minds. But it goes on, and I'm kind of having to wonder, how far are we as a nation in comparison to what this nation, that God says, "I'm going to abandon you," and he did. And as a result of that, then this nation had to get down to the barrel, as you might say, and scrape the barrel, and then look up. And you know, maybe sometimes that's the best thing we can do, and that is we're so far down, the only direction to look is up. And who knows, maybe we're headed there. You know, we're facing some tough times, and as you know, as we've been preaching and teaching through these years, we're headed still. And you know, they say, well, we've just recovered. The recovery is here. Oh, praise the Lord. We're just barely touching what's going to happen, I believe. And we're going to see some tough times. But you know what? I praise God. Really, because what I am seeing is this, that we're getting to a low point where the only way to look is up. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to cost you your home and lose your cars and lose your job, whatever be the case. And maybe that's what the Lord needs to send you or me for us to look up. But what I'm saying is this, as a church and as a nation, we've got to get a perspective on why we're here.
That's right.
We're not here for us. We're not here to make us comfortable. And we're not here for lifestyle. We're not here for pleasure. We're here in the service of the King. Where you say, well, my lifestyle is service to the King. Don't convince me there. You're lying to me. Because your lifestyle is consuming your life so much so that you don't have any time for God. You're working two or three jobs. Your wife is doing the same thing. And you're sending your children to daycare because of your lousy lifestyle. And as a result of that, you're losing everything. And you say, that's good? That's not good. We need a warrior to rise up out of the midst. And that's what God said here. We need a valiant warrior in Gideon. And it's interesting because if you read the text and you read the sixth chapter and into the seventh chapter, he says, I'm going to fix this nation even if it takes one man doing it. He says one man is going to fix this situation and you are the one. Do we have one person out here that can rise up and be a valiant warrior? Well, I need to do the fleece thing. And after the fleece thing, then we got it all figured out. Well, we'll talk a little bit about Gideon's situation and the fact that he needed some confirmation. Friend, you've already got confirmation. You already have it.
Your life is a testimony of the fact that God says, I need you, I want you, I'm going to send you, and this is your job. So now we just got to go do something. But let me go bury my father first. Or I just got married and I got to go do this. Oh, I just bought some land and I got to see if it's going to raise any crops. We don't have time for that. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are what?
Few.
They don't exist. Not few. They don't exist. And it was interesting. I won the battle with the squash bugs this year. And you know what happened? Now I can't even collect the squash. They're too much. The zucchini is coming out my nose. I was praying for zucchini. God sent zucchini. But what I did see as I left, I saw the squash rotting on the vine because I couldn't get to it, or I couldn't see it. It was underneath the leaves there, and I couldn't see it. And you know what? That's the same thing that's happening to the souls of mankind today. They're rotting under the leaf. And we're too busy with so many other things, and we missed it. Let's back up a little bit. Chapter 1 there, or chapter 6. And the Lord, the sons of Israel then did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord then gave them into the hands of Midian for 7 years. And the power of Midian prevailed. And I want you to see something that it doesn't take much to destroy a nation. And it doesn't take much to destroy your way of living. There are many of us here today that are 1 week away from a serious life-changing disaster. Whether it be financial, whether it be health, whether it be whatever, you're that close to disaster and ruin. Do you realize that? As a nation, we're that way. 1 week away. Notice what happened in this case. For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites, the sons of the east, and would go against them. So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep and no donkeys. You know what that represented to them? Their way of life is just vaporized. Because somebody came and took away what they had to eat, what they had to trade with, and it took away their outlook for the future. And as a result, many perished. And it got so bad that the only where to look was up. And that is, now we need your help, Lord. Put yourself in that situation. What if somebody took away your way of living? What if someone said to you tomorrow, Brother Ron, you're fired. Well, Brother Dave Castillo would say, Amen! Fire me some more! Man, I tell you what, though, if somebody handed me a pink slip, 5-10 years ago, oh man, our world would fall apart. And that's the way some of you are here today, or most of us. What if somebody took away everything you had to eat? You know what that means? No, I go to the grocery store. I just go shopping there. What if somebody took away that opportunity for you to buy something to eat? There are some places that I've read about that even though you had money and you had the currency, you couldn't go and find food because there was no food to buy. Go to Zimbabwe. You know what they're doing for bread? These people are panning gold dust in the mud, trying to find a few grains of gold dust so that they can go trade it for bread. And you know what they're doing to their environment? They have destroyed their water supply. They're destroying their own country because they want something to eat, and that's bread. I tell you what, there's some serious things going on around us. And I tell you what, it's hunting us. It's following us. And we're going to see some of that. And then it goes on to say this. It says, and not only did it destroy what they had to eat, but it destroyed their future and their outlook, because that was their animals. That was what they worked with, and that was what they had security in, and that was gone too. It's one thing to say, well, I lost my job. That's another thing to say, I'll go find one tomorrow. 583,000 unemployed. Don't you think they want a job? Do you think they love living on unemployment when you're getting $120 a week to live? They're actually scratching the earth for a job, some of these guys. And they're not finding it. You know what's happened to the suicide rate? You know what's happened to the suicide rate? Familial. You know what that means? Where dad is killing mom and killing the children and then shooting himself. Because there's no hope. Tell you what, that's some dire circumstances. And then you think about the spiritual implications to that. The devil finally won out. Because he finishes the job. Because of the circumstances of our lives. Friend, you have an enemy working hard to destroy you. And this is where Gideon rose to the occasion and allowed God to use him. And that's why in Hebrews 11 chapter, God says he was a man of faith. Because God said, you're the man. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. Notice what happened in his life. In verse 7, when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that there was a man that was working because of the things that had happened. He was trying to resist this opposition as best he could. And then verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the son of Gideon. There was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I worked a little bit with the combines and the JB. I used to help Brother Bill Zorn with the combine, and I was amazed by that. He didn't let me touch any of the levers. He says, all you do is steer. Because what was happening is if I touched the levers, the product was being wasted on the ground. So I said, I'll get it all set. You just steer the thing. And I'm thinking, man, this is great. It's thrashing out the wheat, and the kernels are coming out. It's falling into the hopper, and all the chaff is blowing out into the wind. That's cool. And that's a tool for the job. How do you use a wine press to get the job done that a combine should do? You see, he was working with a very inferior tool, trying to preserve a nation. What he was doing is, he would gather a bushel of wheat, he would put it under this round press, and then he's turning this thing to try to see if he could get the kernel dislodged from the stalk. And if it didn't work, he would do it again. You see, you can't squeeze a wheat kernel like you can do a grape. And he was struggling to do that. But you know what? This is the point. He says, I'm going to do something. Even if it's an inferior way of doing it, I got to do something. That was a burning inside of him that says, you know what? If someone doesn't rise up and do something, we're all going to perish. And we've got to take that same consideration. If we don't do something now, we're all doomed. Brother talked about the church. It's in the kind of condition it is. It's because we've been kind of sitting back and watching what's happening. We've been allowing things to come in and we don't say a thing about it. We've been allowing things to just kind of slither in here and we're not even cognizant or want to be to the fact that it's destroying us. You see, he was working to try to do something. And so, I believe this is why God says, you know what? You're the man. And I'm going to use you because you've got a heart that says, at least you want to get there. And then, at that point, God is going to develop him. Was he a warrior at this point? Do we have any history that says, we have hardly any history of this man that says that he could even shoot a Daisy BB gun? We don't. And God says, hey, you are a warrior. But doing so, God says, I am going to help you become that person. And I think, as we can look here in the few minutes we have left, that my aspect to this, the reason why I believe that he's called a man of faith, and I think there are several, but I think is that he was willing to do something that he knew he couldn't do, but he knew God could help in that. Later on, in a little bit, we'll talk about the fact that he was going to do something that he knew was going to cost him his life. When he was asked to gather those 300 men and going into fight, he was drastically outnumbered. Did he already have it in his mind that it was going to cost him his life? Logically, yeah. And you would think the same thing too. How in the world am I going to do this with 300 men that are pretty much criminal in their activity? Because a guy that does this and drinks his water is looking around to see if the cops are going to get him. They were concerned about what was happening around them. You see, 300 men, oh man, plus myself. And I've never wielded a sword. And we're going to take these guys on, and we're going to cause the city to go into extinction. Well, that's the hand of God behind that. Let's back up just a minute then before we get to the other aspects of that. First of all, God said that there was a warrior that was going to rise up from the midst of all that was going on. One valiant warrior. I listened to a friend of mine when we were preaching in California. He was a black man, and I like the way they preach. And I don't know whether God gave them a special way to introduce a sermon. But he gets up from the pulpit and says, God, send me a warrior! And then he said that four more times. And then I'm thinking, man, does he need some help? But the bottom line, he says, God wants one man, and that is a warrior. And he says, I don't understand about the complexities of the warriorship, that's what he's saying, and I don't understand about the complexities of battle, and I don't think I've even tasted blood like the real warrior has, but God wants one warrior. And basically what it all boils down to this, and that is, are you dispensable for the kingdom of God? We need a few suicide bombers in the church today, don't we? We need a guy that's willing to strap a backpack of the Lord's will and go in and bomb the place. Really, we do. Instead of someone who's worried about the 401k, that's now a 201k and on its way down to 101k. We need a few people that are willing to give their lives entirely to the service of God and not worry about what the consequences are, whether or not it changes his lifestyle. Because, friend, I tell you this, if you do God's will, it's going to. And if you desire to do God's will, it's still going to. It's going to change your lifestyle. And I tell you what, it's not easy getting criticized. Getting a nasty phone call that nobody wants to leave their name behind. It says, you just preached the worst sermon you've ever preached. And it was so negative, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. In those days, we didn't have caller ID. Well, I'd have called them right back. And it's terrible to get an anonymous letter that says, you know what, you ought to go home and never preach again because you're dwindling or you're diminishing the church because of your Atoma brethrenism. Some of you know what that is. Those lousy Atoma brethren ruining the people for the future. Well, I'm glad for a few of those Atoma brethren. Because if it wasn't for the Atoma brethren, I probably wouldn't be here. Because somebody had enough guts to say, you know what? You need to repent and you need to change and be something for God. I remember Brother Word one time said, just John, you're not here today. You don't have any potential today. But he said, you will tomorrow. And he says, when I get done with you, he says, you will have potential. He said that to me. I thought, great, you know? What a boost of confidence. But honestly, he was right. He was right. Couldn't even find the books of the Bible. I was supposed to be religious. Couldn't even quote a passage of scripture, and I was supposed to be religious. Didn't have an inkling for those things. And he says, we're going to turn you into man here. Did. And thank God for Brother Don and Jerry Smith. Man, they worked hard on us. And I feel sorry for them sometimes because we send them these young people that I'm thinking, you know what? They might have potential. Not today, but maybe tomorrow. And I'm glad they want to come. And I'm glad they're still doing this because it's a hardship on them sometimes. babysitting these 19, 20-year-old kids? Really, checking up on them, whether or not they're coming home. You know, it just childish things. I'm glad they do it. Why? Because they understand that we need a warrior or two. Or three or four or five or six. Because in that case, you know, that's really where the rubber meets the road. And that is, someone has to fight the battle. Now, think about the perspective of where he was. Gideon didn't have another opportunity to say, you know what, I'd rather do this, this, and this. You know, it was dire straits. And as I mentioned early in the intro to my sermon, that we need to come to the conclusion that we are in dire straits. And at that point, then that makes us a little bit more usable for the kingdom of God. You see, because it's a man who's finding urgency as his only way out, he's the one that's going to get the job done. You ever been chased by a swarm of bees? And you think you can't run right now? I watched the little old lady, 78 years old. Man, she ran almost a world record 100 meters. Because she's being chased by a swarm of bees. You know what? We need to get on fire, and I mean literally, and that is so we can do something. Maybe we need to have our home foreclosed upon. Maybe we need to lose all four of our cars and our new Mercedes. Maybe we need to have that happen. I don't know. So that we can get a perspective on what's really important in the life that we're living today. Because I tell you what, material things, they're going to pass away. And one of these days, the things that you're holding on to today, they're useless to you as you face a God. For the scripture says, it is appointed for all men to die once, and then what? And then comes the judgment. And then what happens to your gold and your platinum and your silver and all your bonds and your treasuries and all those things that you've accumulated? Where do they go? To your children who squander them. Because they don't have any financial sense. Because you didn't have a time to train them. Because you're so busy in your lousy lifestyle that it's a vicious old circle. Man, it's killing us, brethren. And that is the thing that we're involved in today is destroying us. And that's what he rose up against. And that is this idolatry that possessed this nation that brought them to this point. JB mentioned idolatry, and we can go on and on. Idolatry and your security. You know, right now, some of us have a little nest egg tucked away. And when times get tough, and when I'm old, and I retire, that's going to be my security. I met a man the other day, 90 years old. Guess what he's doing? He's working at Walmart. Why? Because his security is gone. Gone. You know how much he lost last year? $750,000. Gone. You say, what happened? I don't know. He doesn't even know. All he knows is that there's nothing there. He's not getting his check anymore. And so now he's off doing his work. He's a nice guy, but he shouldn't be there. What happened to his security? You see, security is this. As the scripture says, set your minds on the things that are where? Above. Not on the things that are here below. Because there's no security here. We are on shifting sand every day of our lives. And you cannot withhold or withstand, I should say, the forces that are yet to come economically. You're a little pawn in the big system of things. Whatever you think you have today is secure, be gone tomorrow. If you really want to invest and be smart, one guy says, go out and invest in canned food. At least you can eat that. Can't eat your gold, but you can eat a can of green beans. Probably a smart thing to do. You see, our idolatry issues range from many, many phases, but one of those is, you know, we're too busy planning for our latter years. What's happening in between time? This morning when you woke up, looked in the mirror, some of us did. I don't have a whole lot to comb, so I just kind of shake it and I'm gone. But did you realize this? That you have just now used up in the past another of your life's allocation. It's gone. Never again for you to hold to. Never again for you to make a decision in. Never for you again to have an option in what happened and transpired in that day. That is gone. And what's happening is so much of a vitality today in the church is leaving us, and we're not able to capture that. We're not able to get a good, what they call ROI. What is that? Return on your investment. Those days are gone, and we can't utilize what's up in the future. What I mean by this is that if we spend our precious moments in nothing, what are we going to get in return?
Nothing.
Nothing. Next time you're sitting in front of your lousy Xbox, or sitting in front of your lousy DVD thing, or doing absolutely nothing in your nothing box up here, think about the fact that those days are gone, and maybe there was an opportunity for God there somewhere where you squandered it. Gone. And you magnify that tenfold, 20, 100, thousandfold, 100,000-fold. How many man hours is the church giving away that we'll never recapture that we could have used for the kingdom of God? You see, that's where it's all today, all wrapped up into today. Another thing in the security thing is if you're young enough to do this, have a baby. Have another one. Well, I've already got two. Have another one. This is interesting because I got an email from one of you guys. I get so many forwards from the brethren. You know how that is. That's a good thing. But anyway, they sent me a thing on what's happening with the doctrine of Christianity versus what's happening with the Muslim nation. And what's happening to our nation is this. We are having an average of, 2.1 children. Whereas over here, this nation is almost 6-2. And eventually what happens, there's a critical point, whereas you cannot repopulate your own peoples because there's nothing there. And then these people have their children. And as a result, we cannot self-perpetuate this thing. You see what I'm saying? It's critical in what's happening in our world today. Because we're not looking to the future. Children are a good thing. They are. As you know, we adopted another little one. Had a man say, what had gone through your mind? What happened to you? Well, I said, God changes us. But another one that we could probably influence for the kingdom. And he blessed me the other day because he's been working on Psalms, the first chapter. And he's got it nailed down. And he gets up and he does his thing and he says, no, are you going to memorize, show your memory scripture? No, no, I'm going to get up and preach. So the only way he's going to do that, he says, is he gets his chair, pulls it behind the pulpit, and he preaches his memory verse. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? If we could have several of those little ones rise up into the ranks, I mean, that's going to help in the future. You want security? Look towards that. Finally, with 5 minutes left, I want to talk to you about Gideon. And that is that God used him as a warrior, and God allowed him to think about the important things. And then the fact that he says, this is going to be a legacy. Because you look at his life, not only did God put him in a position of leadership, changed his name to good name. But he also gave him 71 sons, and he ruled Israel for 40 years. So God took him, and he became an asset, a perpetual asset to these, if they would only live right. And it would have gone on and on, but you're going to see the faltering of a people again, and so forth within this. But when you think of this man's life, you think of how God developed him and showered him with many opportunities to be something for God's kingdom. Now I want to ask you today, how can God use you If you want to be a warrior, and you really want to look at how you can be used, and that is have good security in your life and so forth, then think of the opportunity that exists in your life today to be something more for God. I don't know if you realize this or not, but there's some people here that are pretty sharp in what they do. And they hold a lot of ways of doing things with their talents and their abilities, and some of us have a little more resources than others. How can you implement those things to preserving the church as this nation? How can we do that? Knowing this, that everything around us could be dissolved in a second. There are threats around us. Yeah, maybe we should be. And I'll roll back and says, no, the psycho ill in North Korea, that he could nuke us. I said, no, I'm not worried about that. And I said, then you must be worried about a mini-jod there in Iran that could destroy this world. No, I'm not worried about that. And he says, well, what are you really worried about that's a real vital threat? And I thought, and I wrote him back and says, have you looked at the sun lately? Have you checked the sunspot record on the sun? And I wrote back, no. He says, well, I gave him a clue. He says, there have been no sunspots on the sun for almost 250 days. And what that means is we are going into a new cycle of the sun. And when that happens, then now we are going to get these things called CMEs. CMEs are not good for our electrical grid because our grid is so old, it's so brittle. And what happens is when solar flares shoot out of the sun, they send this big old solar storm towards the earth and it taxes our electrical grid. And you know what happens? If you're vulnerable, it's going to take out your transformers. Transformers today are made in China. And you know how long it takes to get a transformer from China? 2 years. If four transformers went out in LA, you think they'd have power next week? It's 4 years by the time they have power again. What would happen to your meat in your freezer? What would happen to your water that runs on electricity? What would happen to my internet? Would that brother change your way of life a little bit? It would send you back to the third world nation that we ought to be. That's something to really be concerned about. But lay that aside. Here is my real focus. And that is we need to be concerned about eternity. Because you are on borrowed time, some of you. You are on borrowed time, some of you. The way we eat, we're all like this. We're all waiting for the heart attack to come. And we're in bad shape. But lay that aside. And that is our sinful condition is so prevalent. And we're trying to help God. We're trying to suppress the truth with our unrighteous living. And we're living on borrowed time. And God is sending you opportunity after opportunity for you to get yourself right. Some of us aren't doing it. It's the greatest threat that exists to you. And that is looking towards God in an eternal perspective. And you see, that was Gideon's work, and that is preparing a nation in service to God. Friend, right now, if you're far away from God, and God has sent you to this camp, and this camp is not easy to get to. There's a lot of resources involved. There's a lot of things that could keep you from coming, but you're here. You know why you're here? Oh! For the refreshments. For the food. You're here because God sent you so that you could consider your eternity. He sent you so that you can consider your wayward ways in order to fix them. So that when you leave here and go back down the mountain, that you're ready for eternity, even if it came tomorrow. You see, you can't run from God. You cannot run from God. And if you do, He'll find you. And one day you'll bow before Him, whether you want to do or not, and you'll face an angry God. You see, Gideon was a man of faith because this is at stake. This nation, spiritually speaking. We can't abandon it. Gideon, a man of faith.